And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by one of my several Power Ranger co-hosts, this time around, the Yellow Ranger himself, Mr. Brian Massey.
What's going on, everybody?
And of course, Brian, you get the Sentai side of things, correct? Unlike in Power Rangers, where in the Sentai for Geo Ranger, the Yellow Ranger is a guy.
Yep. It's a boy named Boy. Go figure.
Yeah. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know that this episode was pre-recorded beforehand, and we actually had to redo the intros and the outros. So if it's a little disjointed, we do apologize. So with that, we hope you enjoyed the episode. And today we're talking Crystal of Nightmares and to flee or not to flee. That may or may not be the question. We'll find out later. So we're going to hop right into it. Crystal of Nightmares, and it's everyone's favorite segment. In my mind, the quick run through of the episode. And we began at Angel Grove High as the Rangers discuss doing a study session. Mr. Kaplan gives Bulk and Skull their midterm grades, and ouch, bro, those grades don't sound so good by the look of their face. Goldar hatches a plan to hurt the Rangers' confidence at the cottage the Rangers are studying and need a break. And then in a random cave somewhere, Goldar activates the Crystal of Nightmares. And now we have Bulk and Skull and Drag as housekeepers. The Rangers go to the room, Zach dancing, and then a pillow fight. But it's a simpler one for the ladies as they just go to bed. Goldar starts his plan and gives the Rangers nightmares. Bulk and Skull have an awesome dream. They try to pilot the Megazord and wreck it. Damn right, that's an awesome dream. The Rangers have the ultimate nightmare of Zordon stripping them of their powers. Zordon realizes this and summons them. Zordon explains what needs to be done and transports them to where the crystal is. The Rangers encounter the putties and struggling mightily, but Jason gets in the cave and destroys the crystal, and they wipe out the putties. Scorpina appears and they morph. Rita makes Scorpina and Goldar grow, and it's Zord time. Rangers taking a beating, but Jason calls upon the Power Sword. Scorpina and Goldar retreat as a result. Back at the cottage, the real cleaning lady shows up and Bulk and Skull freak out. At school, Mr. Kaplan hands out the test and Bulk and Skull get F's while everyone else got A's. Because of course they did. Of course they did. So Brian, notes.
All right. So this is season one, episode 45, Crystal of Nightmares. It first aired February 14th, 1994. It was written by Shecky Levy and Douglas Sloan, and it was directed by Robert Hughes. The Megazord versus Goldar and Scorpina footage comes from Zero Ranger episode 20, Daijuzin's Last Day. If you don't know what Daijuzin is, it's the Japanese name for the Megazord. The Ranger's Nightmares slash flashbacks use footage from the following episode. Zach's comes from Happy Birthday Zach. Kim's is from Calamity Kimberly, which I actually reviewed with you. Billy's is from Power Ranger Punks. Trini's is from Itsy Bitsy Spider. And Jason's is from Green with Evil Part 2. And in all instances of those flashbacks, there's no Tommy whatsoever, even though Tommy was in Calamity Kimberly and he was absolutely in Green with Evil Part 2. But at that point, that was just footage of Jason fighting Goldar, so it doesn't even really matter. There is a note on the Ranger wiki here that said that Goldar now has a different face with a free-moving mouth that is now going to be used in all new American footage coming up. Which will be used from here all the way to Power Rangers in Space. So this was the first time that that particular costume shows up. Let's see here. The first time that Bulk and Skull have been inside a Megazord, and this is the only time American footage of the Dino Megazord cockpit was filmed. And as you can see, there were some differences, obviously. I think there was only like the Tyranno symbol on the back of the door. I don't know exactly what they did with that particular cockpit, but I do know that that cockpit was not only used for Zeo Ranger and then obviously Power Rangers, but also it was used for Jetman as well, which was the series that came out before we started adapting for Power Rangers. So maybe they were doing some stuff, and all of a sudden in America, you know, we gave the call. It's like, hey, we need to use that thing for a second. And that's why it looks so different. So, like you said, Bulk and Skull got their report card from Mr. Kaplan, who says that they'll get detention if they flunk the test. I'm not certain that's how high school works. I think, I don't know if I ever got detention for flunking a test, but I absolutely got it for, you know, blurting out the F word multiple times, which I've been known to do. But
and you've
I've
been very
once...
well behaved.
Thank you. But
at
I've never once...
on head through Zoom.
Thank you. But yeah, I've never once gotten detention because, you know, hey, you got an F on a test. If anything, I go home and I get, you know, I got, you know, a very good talking to or something, but I've never once had to, you know, stay after school because, hey, your test wasn't up to snuff.
And I said, boy, you best get ready for your whooping because your grades are not up to par.
Bring my belt. So, like you said, Bulk and Skull used drag to try and steal the study notes in the cabin. Not certain that would play so well nowadays. Jason, Billy, and Zach have a scene where, like you said, they pillow fight, and it legit just looks like they're having fun, and it was almost like they were filming something that was off-screen or offset, because I swear, Jason just seemed like he was just like, everybody was having fun. I was like, this is different. I like this. And it didn't even seem, here's the thing. It didn't seem like they were pretending to have fun. It legitimately seemed like they were just like, after the day was over, they were just having a good time. And that's what it felt like to me. And I enjoyed it. So the crystal makes the Rangers lose their confidence. So their powers become useless. And I wrote here, they lost their smile, Vince.
Next thing you know, I'm going to hit you with, like, sweet chin music. For those of you who don't know, this is wrestling references now.
You see, when we're not talking Power Rangers, Michael and I, we enjoy pro wrestling.
We talk about the pro wrestling, but not to be confused when Ben and I do it on Awesome Mania, which is not safe for work.
No. Yeah, I have not been to training in a while, by the way, but I am still training to be a pro wrestler. So, I am going to pepper in a few more wrestling things here and there. So Bulk and Skull fall asleep under one of the beds after hiding for God knows how long. And they fall asleep, and then they wake up in makeup as well. And I don't know if you've ever been under a bed for an extended period of time, but it is very uncomfortable. And
depends on the bed.
Allergies.
Depends on the bed.
Man, I'm just glad that there was nothing else under there. But man, that's got to suck. It's just like being under a bed for like 12 hours and falling asleep on a hardwood floor. I don't know if you've ever fallen face first on a hardwood floor like that, but it is one of the most that's
so
comfortable.
So I used to work at a summer camp, and the mattresses were like not the greatest in the world. And if you can get the right bunk bed, you can get a solid flat wood board. Like that would be perfect. It never wobbled or anything. So you'd set your sleeping bag up on it, you set your pillow up on it, and you would just sleep on the wooden board. And it was really comfortable.
Nice.
Not going to lie. And I actually, you know, now that I've created more room in my bedroom, and it's now like God hot in here, sleeping on the floor is not a bad option. So I actually don't mind sleeping on the floor. It doesn't bother me as much. So,
yeah.
But that's just me. I'm weird.
Do you have a fan? Do you have like a box fan or anything in your room? I know you have a ceiling fan, but
I just have the ceiling fan.
Dude, get $20, go out to Walmart, pick up a box fan.
Yeah, I'm not going out anywhere right now. We're still going through a pandemic.
Fair, but I'm go online and order
yourself. And here's the thing. Like, right now, I turn the light on so I can just kind of see my notes for now. Like, as soon as we're done, I'm turning my light off. And I'm going to have my TV and my laptop illuminate the bedroom for me. And I have a window open, so I have fresh air coming in as well. So anyways, but nobody cares about how my bedroom is a hot sauna 24/7 during the summertime. Yeah. Nobody cares about that. Back to Crystal of Nightmares. What we're talking about right now is probably a nightmare to many people as is.
Pretty much. Okay, this is the second time in a row that an episode has ended on Bulk's face where he's just making this like, ain't I a stinker kind of face? And then you just hear that do credits and not the worst way to end an episode. If I remember correctly, this is they find out that they get F's and then Kaplan like shakes a eraser towards Bulk's face and we find out he's got allergies and he sneezes, he sneezes the wig off of Mr. Kaplan. And Bulk's just like, and he's just making this grin that's just, oh, shucks. And at this point, I'm starting to enjoy Bulk and Skull more. They're not nearly as insufferable as they were early on. So there's that. And also, oh my, Skull isn't just parroting Bulk, He's like, in the next episode, which we'll get to, he's saying full sentences. He's not just, repeating everything that, Bulk's saying, which is nice. Other than that, this was kind of a throwaway episode. Obviously, they were doing a lot of throwbacks, and they were doing a lot of, like, hey, here's what happened last time on Power Rangers. And there wasn't much of a narrative. There wasn't even a monster. We had, Goldar and Scorpina, but I don't count those as, Monster of the Weeks or anything. So we don't even get that. We just kind of get a clip show and then we get, a fight with Goldar and Scorpina. And funny enough, the footage that they use, you can actually see King Sphinx in the background of one of those shots. So like, they were obviously just like, okay, we've got to get to Tommy. Let's just kind of throw this episode in the can and get it over with. So. Yep.
So with Crystal of Nightmares, it clocked in at 20 minutes and 18 seconds with a 7.1 out of 10 rating. So it actually got a good rating. Next up, it's time for To Flee or Not To Flee. And everyone's favorite segment in my mind, which is the quick run through of the episode, which we begin at the youth center. Zach is looking for donations to save the youth center. The finances just aren't looking good, man. They just aren't looking good. And Jason shows up with a dog, because why not? At school, Bulk and Skull plan to find the dog for the reward. And holy cow, Finster still exists! He still exists. Good on you, Finster, and he creates Flea Guy. At the youth center, Bulk and Skull see the dog and follow Kim and Jason. Rita shrinks the monster and it bites Jason and now a putty attack and Jason infects the putties with the flea itching. At the command center, they neutralize the flea itch. Then at the park, the flea leaves the dog and grows, scaring both Bulk and Skull. At the junkyard, the flea encounters Kim and Jason. They morph, but the itching gets worse for Jason, Kim getting beat up while Billy is struggling. Zach and Trini morphs to action and Billy also morphs. Billy then gives Jason the anecdote. The Rangers dispatch the putties with the help of the flea. Yes, with the help of the flea. Jason then assaults the flea to force Rita to make him grow. Zord time, Megazord battle time, straight up fist fight, then power sword time, and somehow this is Squad and Babu's fault. Because why not? At the youth center, the owner of the dog shows up. The owner gives Ernie the reward money, and it saves the youth center. Bulk and Skull show up all itchy. Billy and Jason puts collars on them to get rid of the itch. And that was To Flee or Not To Flee. Brian, your notes, good sir.
Yes, absolutely. So this was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Episode 46, To Flee or Not To Flee. Original air date was February 15th, 1994. It was written by Douglas Sloan, and it was directed by Terrence H. Winkless. So this is the final time that we see the Dino Megazord tank mode use its cannons. which is kind of a bummer. That's actually one of my favorite modes of any Megazord. I love the tanker, and I love, you know, seeing the cannons and
Brian is
having
now
a fire
robot
on all cylinders. So it's kind of a bummer that this is. Where did you lose me?
Just talking about the cylinders and stuff like that. It's okay.
So yeah, the cannons. This is the last time that they used the cannons on there. Kind of a bummer. I think I was writing more kind of stream of mind when I was watching this episode. I wrote, the youth center is going out of business. How will this get resolved in 30 minutes? So, because I knew what was going to happen. I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And then Jason brings in a lost dog, and the scene cuts to Bulk and Skull looking at a lost dog reward sign. And Skull is the one who's just like, hey, Bulk, look at this thing. And I was like, huh, interesting. Okay, I'm starting to put two and two together here.
Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah. Fun note, though. The Rangers are at the youth center, but Bulk and Skull are at school. So did that threat of detention actually carry over? Like, were they... I think Bulk and Skull were actually in detention. They carried that over. There's continuity here. My God.
Wait, what's continuity?
It's this thing where, you know, when a Ranger and a Putty hate each other very much.
My little Zach action figure from 1993 does not approve.
That's 95. That's the year the movie came out.
This one?
Yeah.
This is 95, so it's really Adam?
Yeah, that's Adam.
Oh. Sorry.
Wait, Johnny, let me get a better look at that.
Hold on, let me find the camera.
Yeah, that's the one from McDonald's. That's Adam. That's not Zach.
Oh. Boo. Thought I had a Zach figure. This is all your fault, Brian. Now go back to your notes.
Yeah, sorry for, you know, having a basic knowledge of Mighty Morphin toys. I'm
shaking its head no.
See, I've got a Zach key right here. So
I have a Zach key too.
So Jason brings in a dog, and of course, after watching them and Bulk and Skull, of course Rita has an idea for a monster. Of course she does. Rita pulls. Finster creates this monster, and then Rita pulls an Ant-Man on Fighting Flea, where she shrinks him down and puts him on the dog, and then the flea goes and infects Jason. But at that point, I'm like, why didn't you just infect Jason? Why did you have to go on the dog at all? But I don't know. I guess
because the flea can hold on to the dog better than it can hold on to a human.
Fair. Jason did a fireman carry takedown on a Putty in this fight when they're in the park, by the way. Very, very nice. The team splits up where Billy is off on his own. Trini and Zach are teamed up, and then Red, Jason and Kimberly are teamed up together. Fighting Flea reminds me so much of a Kamen Rider, by the way, like an unused Kamen Rider suit. Like, you know, Kamen Rider Fleo or something. Like, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I didn't watch Kamen Rider. I'll be brutally honest. So,
I'm not intimately familiar with Kamen Rider, but I know enough about the suits that I'm like, that looks like it could be, you know, like we had this idea and it just didn't work. So Billy's doing him a science trying to solve Jason's itch problem, and he's got a skeleton in the background, and I'm really concerned about how he got that skeleton.
What they did was is that they had Jason touch another human being, and then that human got the itches, and the human literally scratched itself to death, and it took off all of its skin, and it became a skeleton in Billy's garage.
That happened so fast, too.
I know. A lot can happen in 20 minutes and 21 seconds.
Yeah. So I have a sneaking feeling that this was the U-Ranger 2 footage for a couple of reasons. Obviously, you see in the suit, you see Jason scratching, and I don't know. It just here's where I knew that this was Zero Ranger 2 footage. Because Billy's creating the antidote. He's creating the stuff in his lab, and you can see the can, and it says, like, it's kind of like, you know, Michael's secret stuff in Space Jam. He's got his name written all over it. And is that an old reference or what? But then it cuts to the Japanese footage, and the same can is there. The same exact can, only it just doesn't say Billy. It's the exact same design on there. And I was like, huh, that's really cool. Like, I feel like that was something that was designed here, and then they sent it over to Japan instead of it being designed in Japan and then vice versa. For reasons, I don't know. It just makes sense to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was like, this looks like Zero Ranger 2 footage.
When in doubt, you're always wrong.
Yeah. Where did you hear that?
I don't know. I just made it up.
When in doubt, you're always wrong. Okay. That's actually not bad advice. But, this episode, I don't know, the fight was, I don't know, what did you think of the fight? The fight just, with Zord, just kind of seemed like, meh. Like, the flea jumped around a lot, which, the fleas jump around a lot. And, but nothing really special happened, I don't know.
It is what it is. I mean, you heard how I talked about it, as I now have an Adam sitting on my shoulder.
Oh, wow. Adam is just sitting right there on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool.
But
this episode, I do want to know, like, because apparently Ernie's expenses, by the way, and this is just wrapping up, Ernie's expenses on the juice bar are
astronomical.
Yeah, they're way more than his profit margin, as per Billy on the way, like, retro laptop that he's, like, using.
That's not a laptop. That is, like, an actual PC. That's, like, one of those Mac computers.
Either way, like, homeboy was representing some, like nerd cred, like, before that was even a thing. But he's, like, sitting there, like, going over the expenses, and then all of this is solved because that lady comes in and finds the dog, and they're like, yeah, Ernie's the one that, you know, you need to talk to, and she cuts him a check. He just cuts him a check, and his eyes get all big, and he's just like, this is going to save us. I want to know how much was written on that check. I want to know, like...
$50 billion.
Still not as rich as Jeff Bezos.
It's kind of cool. I'm going to try to do the rest of this with the little Adam action figure sitting on my shoulder. Sorry for people not being able to see it. But,
He's there, though.
Oh, he's there. It also helps that I'm also shirtless and I'm sweating because my room is really hot. And so it's just kind of like just sticking to my shoulder. But, to flee or not to flee was 20 minutes and 21 seconds. And had an IMDb score of a 6.9. And so with that, Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek, where I post updates on the show that I do, which is also called OneDrunkGeek, where I've worked on the 100 craft beers that you need to try before you die. I'm also on castwavestudios.com. You can see me on BGN Weekly. We've done many episodes over the past 10 years, so please give that a look. And you can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. I post photos and stuff and, you know, cosplay stuff. So,
all right. And you can follow me on the Twitters at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions. And of course, everything for me is on the website at TXHTHockey.com. And for the show specifically, which is VFTG. which is the call letters for voices from the grid. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
So until next time, grab your morphers.
And may the power protect you.